The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning, 8 a.m. Central Time. Dave Krieger with you here on the Power Hour. It is Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. Jeffrey Smith, by the way, is online with us here, for those of you watching us in streaming video on our platform on thepowerhour.com. He has a bestseller out, global bestseller, called Seeds of Deception. And Jim in Missouri, you called earlier, and the concern was the fact that they were possibly implanting mRNA technology into our food in the grocery store. And I brought up the fact that we already have GMO. We already know about it. We're aware of it. Thanks, Monsanto, you bunch of commie pigs. I have a real problem with this GMO stuff because, you know, in your question, Jim, was how do we know, even if it says non-GMO, how do we know they're not lying to us? I said, yeah, that's almost like the Tylenol scare back in Kansas City in the 80s when people were poisoning Tylenol. People were taking the drugstore and dying of poisoning. Well, Jeffrey Smith, besides writing this book, it ignited the anti-GMO movement by exposing industry and government lies about GMO safety. He has another book out, Genetic Roulette. He organized the science behind GMO health risks in a unique, easy-to-digest format, prompting one reviewer to write, Smith has to be the best science communicator alive today. So that's one of the reasons why, you know, we talk about all of the issues here that we have going on in GMO land. Well, you know, we have to talk about it. Jeffrey Smith is with us on the phone. He's the executive director and founder of the Institute for Responsible Technology. You know, we have a lot of things that I don't think, Jeffrey, welcome to the show, first off. You have a responsibletechnology.org, protectnaturenow.com, non-GMOshoppingguide.com, which now that, those of you out there that don't know about that link, it's going to be on your email blast. We're putting the whole thing in there. Non-GMOshoppingguide.com. I'm really, we'll get to that. Obviously, what got you started in the GMO situation, CRISPR technology in the first place? I think we need to define what CRISPR gene editing is in the first place, because some people don't know.
Great. CRISPR actually is a more recent development. I've been doing this for 27 years.
Wow.
And CRISPR is one of the GMO 2.0 means of creating GMOs. Typically for the soy and corn on the market that Monsanto put on, you'd transfer genes from, in this case, bacteria into soy and corn, often using a gene gun, actually blasting millions of particles of gold or tungsten coated with genes, hoping that some of them make it into the DNA of the corn or soy cells, or you would use bacteria to smuggle it in. Then you'd clone it into a plant. And this whole process causes massive collateral damage, deletions, additions, mutations, and a lot of those can create allergens or toxins, and they do in Monsanto's corn, for example. Now, with CRISPR, they go in with a genetic scissors and a guide that like little clipboard says, okay, it looks like this is the sequence we need to cut. Make the cut. Now, a lot of things look like that sequence. You can have cuts all over the DNA. And for some reason, it also causes massive collateral damage, additions, deletions, mutations, sometimes complete shattering of the genome and reconstruction. In fact, the journal Nature described the results of CRISPR gene editing on three different studies on human embryos as chromosomal mayhem. Now, get this, Dave. The human gene therapists are very concerned about, obviously, changes that they don't anticipate because it can kill people. And some people that have had human gene therapy have died as a result of these side effects. Those creating agricultural products don't even look. If it has the trait that they're looking for, they don't check the DNA to see if it's been damaged. They don't check the proteins to see if they might be toxic or allergenic. And we have examples. There were cows created without horns. And the people said, ah, the cows are born without horns. It's perfect. We don't need any regulation whatsoever. However, 2.5 years later, while the cows are being created in herds in Brazil, someone in the FDA just happened to want to test some software and put the genome of the cow, the data, into the software and went, oh my goodness, they missed something. Every cell of this gene-edited cow has bacterial genes that were accidentally put in there that code for antibiotic-resistant proteins, which means it could end up causing antibiotic-resistant diseases. And then they had to kill all the cows. And that's an example of cows, a similar approval or non-approval, because the USDA looks the other way, happened with mushrooms. And we're going to get into CRISPR, Dave, because I'm going to drop one little note right here. It costs less than $2,000 to buy a CRISPR lab.
Oh, my God. $2,000. Now,
yeah,
what is,
I can't hear you. Let me see what happened to my sound.
CRISPR. Yeah, CRISPR is a it's an acronym. All right, CRISPR is an acronym, and one of the things that you know, I'm gonna have to go look at this non-GMOshoppingguide.com. That's the website. So, what does CRISPR as an acronym stand for? So, people that have heard CRISPR, they think that it's something that you put in the frying pan and fry until it's crisp like bacon. So, I think a lot of people are still not totally equated with that.
Cluster.
I know, not really. I know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, Dave. What are you doing?
Electronic repeats.
Yeah.
No one has ever asked me that, Dave. I've been waiting. I had brain cells that had learned that, and they were planning for that. So thank you. So Dave, what's happening is that we creamed the biotech industry's plans. They were planning to genetically engineer. Monsanto was planning to genetically engineer 100% of all commercial seeds in the world and patent them by now. Okay, that was their stated goal to their consultant who blew the whistle in January 1999. And we started educating consumers. And now about half the world's consumers understand that GMO foods are unsafe, which has kept the number of GMOs in the world and the food to about a dozen. So they decided, okay, we need a new plan. Let's pretend that gene editing is safe, is predictable. Let's call it natural. In fact, let's say it's not even a GMO. And let's convince these governments by ganging up on them. The way they do that is they have a lot of different scientists with the same talking points, create a kind of an echo chamber, and then they say it's a consensus. And so they have convinced the U.S. government, the U.K. government, Japan, India, Australia, Brazil, Argentina, and they're working on the EU to deregulate CRISPR and gene editing, which means that anyone can create these GMOs without even telling the government. And that means they can put it in the food, they can do animals, they can do plants, they can do insects, and they can do microbes. And what this means is that we've given the keys to the kingdoms to virtually anyone with $2,000 or not even $2,000, high school. There's CRISPR labs in high schools. And the logical consequence is there's going to be a flooding of these new types of organisms, and the most common result of GMOs is surprise side effects, flooding into nature. And at that point, we're releasing them into the environment, and they cannot be recalled. So we are literally facing a replacement of nature over this generation, depending on the number that's released, that corrupt the gene pool in ways that cannot be changed. And in a moment, I'm going to talk about the most dangerous species you could possibly genetically engineer.
Oh, my.
And then we're going to talk about why this is an existential threat like no other.
No doubt. Well, the CRISPR, by the way, I know that I went and looked it up, so you have it here. I'm not going to rack your brain at this hour. It's called clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats. Yeah,
I got it.
You got it.
I was saying it while you were saying it, but I was the level of confidence was a little low.
No, that's all right. I mean, the thing is this is a technology. I mean, you're telling me that you can buy this whole lab for $2,000 and turn yourself into a mad scientist. That's what I'm understanding, right?
Yes. In fact, and little CRISPR kits that are like little chemistry sets. When we were a kid, they're on sale for $169.
But
you'd only get a few specific things you can do. But once you have a little lab, you can do it in your home. And some people do.
And our callers are actually concerned that our whole food supply is being contaminated by modified mRNA, modified RNA. That really comes very close to genetic modification, does it not? Isn't that virtually almost the same thing?
They can use genetic modification to create mRNA, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought so.
Now, what's interesting, here's where we're going to get to the most dangerous species. Okay, I gave people a chance to think about it first. And by the way, we have a take action page at responsibletechnology.org/take action, because there's a comment period right now by the USDA on how they should permit people to create, and here's where the answer is. What's the most dangerous species? Microorganisms, microbes, genetically engineered microbes, the most dangerous class. Now, you may immediately be thinking in terms of potential pandemic pathogens and gain of function, and yes, that is a problem. However, what I'm here to tell you, Dave, is that common everyday microbes that are in our gut, that are in our soil, algae in the ocean, that can be as dangerous as potential pandemic pathogens that have been enhanced. And I'll give you an example. In fact, if you go to responsibletechnology.org/take action, there's a 16-minute film called Don't Let the Gene Out of the Bottle. And one of the stories in there is a graduate student walks into his lab. This was in like 1991, and he has a bunch of plants he's growing to get his PhD, and all of a sudden a bunch of them are dead. And he calls up my friend Elaine Ingham, who's his advisor, and says, he's all nervous and says, I must have made a mistake. He says, don't worry, figure out which ones are dead. And it turns out it was only those that had been planted in the soil that was mixed with genetically engineered microbes. And I'll tell you how it worked. These well-meaning scientists decided, let's solve a problem. Let's take a normal bacterium that's found on the root structure of every single plant on the planet, and let's genetically engineer it so it turns plant matter into alcohol. Then we distribute it to all the farmers in the country, and instead of burning their crops after harvest, they can rake it, put it into big barrels, mix it with the alcohol-creating bacteria, and in 2 weeks open the spigot at the bottom, and now they have alcohol that they can run their tractor with, sell off farm, and the nutrient-rich sludge on the bottom can be used as fertilizer. And this passed all the tests needed by the EPA, and it was ready to go. In fact, 2 weeks after this graduate student found that it had turned his wheat plants into alcohol, that stopped it, but they were going to release it outdoors 2 weeks later. Now, I asked Dr. Elaine Ingham, what would have happened if they had released it outdoors? And the worst case scenario was, and it's pretty bad as a worst case scenario, end terrestrial plant life. How does that happen? How is that possible?
Wow. We're talking about our entire oxygen supply being compromised at that point.
Well, not entirely. See, 70% of the world's oxygen comes from algae, unless you genetically engineer it to have a problem. And so we're talking about the oxygen of the world. We're talking about the ability for soil to sequester carbon. We're talking about our own gut bacteria. We're talking about fungus that shuttles nutrients under trees. The microbiome, it's the name for microbial communities. It turns out it's mission critical for everything. It's the micro Jedi army that we can't see that's running the show. In this case, when you release a microbe, everyone knows that they travel and mutate. Everyone knows from the pandemic, but they don't necessarily realize that microbes can swap genes with other microbes. So you genetically engineer a microbe, you release it. And now 100 different microbes and 100 different ecosystems have picked up the gene, and now they're traveling and mutating and swapping, and they're traveling and mutating and swapping. Now, a lot of microbes are not going to survive. They don't have an advantage. But some that do have an advantage might even kill off their parent natural version. Now, you take this common soil microbe you've just turned into a alcohol-producing fiend, the normal bacteria that it was created from, the Klebsiella planticula, can be killed with alcohol. So now you have this alcohol-producing genetically engineered microbe. It might kill off its parent. It might swap genes with others. It might spread, turning root structures in fields into alcohol. How do you stop it? In fact, when Elaine Ingham, she spoke at the UN, she was very concerned about it. People, whistleblowers at the EPA came up and said, we know how far that bacteria might have spread if it was released, because we did a secret experiment, released bacteria that was genetically engineered in a field in Louisiana, and eventually it was found around the world. We found the genetically engineered bacteria everywhere we looked around the world. So now I'm going to put two things together, Dave. We have high schools using CRISPR. Soon, if we don't stop it, every high school in the developed world will have CRISPR because the price is going down. There'll be grants, things like that. The most common organism that they create in high schools, microbes. They don't have these biosecurity things. It's going to be released from their hands, from their mouth. They're going to put it in their, and they're going to end up eating it. It's going to be traveling. You could figure just from the high schools, there could be a million varieties of GM microbes. Add to that the Monsanto Bayer joint venture where they're creating nitrogen-fixing microbes to release in the environment by the trillions. Add to that, you have all these synthetic biology factories that use genetically engineered yeast, algae, and bacteria to produce desired proteins, but that can cause an accidental spill, and you have all these genetically engineered varieties released into the environment. We could be flooding the biosphere with genetically engineered microbes. We know a single microbe, just doing its job better than we predicted, could, in worst case scenario, end terrestrial plant life. Now, what happens if you end up altering human gut bacteria? You plant something, you release something in a field in Arkansas, it ends up in the gut of a child in Alaska. You release something in the environment, ends up in the atmosphere, changing the way that raindrops are formed. And that actually is done by bacteria. And it almost happened with another genetically engineered variety that was almost released. We're talking about ending the way nature operates by interfering with the microbiome. How sensitive is the microbiome? Slight changes in us, in our gut microbiome, lead to about 80% of the diseases that we have.
So here we got a high school that's got a $2,000 kit, and they're allowing students to literally create their own bioweapon.
And they don't know it, and no one knows it. And the thing is, you know,
that's some pretty scary stuff, Jeff.
If you think about the microbes out there, there's an estimated 1 trillion. How many of those do we know? Less than 1%. And what we are realizing is we're kind of in awe of it. I mean, the microbe health of humans is so important as a baby because it sets you up for life. Milk digesting microbes move into the birth canal in the second trimester to inoculate the baby during birth. More microbes come from the milk. More microbes come from the skin of the nipple of the nursing baby. A lot of the milk is undigestible by the baby. It's not for the baby. It's for the microbes. The health of the baby is reflected in the salivary microbes, which feed back to the mother through the nipple and change the formula. While the kid is sick, the formula is different because the microbes are communicating with each other. It's incredible how important it is. If you take microbes from one person and put it into another, that person can become thin or fat or get a disease or get a cure because it's a programming in there that helps determine what we're doing in the physiology. We've outsourced 90% of our own physiological functions on the chemical and metabolic level to the microbes. That's how we can get away with a measly 23,000 genes, less than earthworms, because we use the 3.5 million genes of the microorganisms living inside us. Now you're releasing millions of genetically engineered varieties that did not co-evolve with us, that are not recognized and haven't been created over these long, long stretches of time. They've been created in a second, overnight, released with combinations that have never existed before and that are unpredictable. And you put it out there, it ends up in ecosystems you never thought about, in other microbes you never thought about, whether you're doing it on purpose or unintentionally. And this is a class A threat to human health and the environment.
And so they got, in other words, you're in a science lab in high school, and I'm just wondering if the high school science departments need to be fully made aware of, or whether your organization is doing that. But the thing is that they can take a test tube of this stuff after they've been messing with it, dump it down the drain in the science lab, and where does it go? Into our water supply.
And, you know, they've already found that laboratories that use genetically engineered microbes end up flushing them in and getting to the wastewater. You have antibiotic-resistant, kanamycin-resistant things. It's happening already. So when you say, Dave, am I informing the high school? What we're trying to do, and this is where we want to do take action, so responsibletechnology.org/take action. We want to stop the release of genetically engineered microbes internationally. We want a treaty. We want national governments to do it. We want to create an uprising of movements. Now, fortunately, there's a lot of movements that require a healthy microbiome, human health, regenerative agriculture, carbon drawdown, environmental, oceans. They all require healthy bugs. And when they realize, most people don't realize, a lot of microbiologists didn't even realize until we talked to them. We had one of our microbiologists on staff call five of his friends. What do you think about the implications of genetically engineered microbes? Well, I haven't really thought about it. All five of them. One guy said to me, you know, I don't think it's a big problem. And then I spent an hour with him describing these details, and he went, oh, my God. There should be no release of genetically engineered microbes. He's a guy in the field. He works with them. He actually doesn't work with genetically engineered versions. He creates the natural combinations. But when he realized what was at risk, he said no one should be releasing genetically engineered microbes. This was a top microbiologist. So we are putting together scientists and doctors and expertise and whatnot, and we're putting together materials that we can then stimulate a new movement. We for 27 years, I've been involved in the GMO food movement. Now, and that was just to focus on consumer choice, and we did a good job. Now we have to change laws. So it's a bigger deal. It has to be around the world. We can't have any holdouts producing millions of microbes while everyone else is locked down. It's got to be international. And we can't just go knock on the door of the Biden administration and say, could you please do something reasonable, or any administration around the world, or China and whatnot. We've got to also build a movement at the same time, a movement of movements, and all saying, not on our watch. We have, and not just with microbes. We've achieved the time in human history we can redirect the streams of evolution for all time very easily with kits under $2,000. We need to preserve and protect nature and not replace her.
Well, and just imagine if you are a parent who has a high schooler and they're taking chemistry or biology and they're in a lab setting and they're creating this stuff and everybody in the lab is getting exposed to this. And then they bring it home to mommy and daddy. You wonder why parents get sick and can't go to work is because kids in school transmit germs to each other and then bring it home to the parents, which is why we are seeing more of our listening audience, as a matter of fact, are homeschooling. And I don't think they're going to really get into this and play with this kind of technology in homeschool. I really think just learning the basics and what God had wrought in what the initial purpose was for what he created. And I know there's a lot of scientists that'll argue with that and say, no, it was evolution and Darwinism and whatnot. Survival of the fittest. Now, we're in an era, and it's 24 minutes after the hour. We got about 4 minutes until the break. The number is 844-769-2944. You're very concerned, folks, about mRNA technology being in your food. We've got a much bigger fish to fry, because right now they have labels that say non-GMO, and that's what everybody's looking for because they don't want to eat stuff like corn and whatnot that's been genetically modified. They want to grow their own from heirloom seeds and various other ways of doing this. not realizing that the soil, wherever they may be getting it, may be contaminated with this stuff. Well, this adds a whole new dimension to our thought process.
Yeah, it's true. And I have to say, I mean, we do want to also suggest that people eat organic, and I'll explain why. See, the non-GMO, that non-GMO project, that butterfly, it's the best program right now. It's third-party verified. They require, document review. They require testing if there's at-risk ingredients. But they also have been spraying Roundup, not just on the Roundup-ready GMO crops. But
glyphosate.
Glyphosate. They're spraying it on the grains and the beans before harvest to dry it down, to force ripening. And so even though oats, for example, is not genetically engineered, it's not Roundup ready, genetically engineered to be sprayed with Roundup, they spray it just before harvest and it gets soaked into the oats. So if you eat non-organic oats, you're eating glyphosate. Same with wheat, same with lentils and chickpeas. In fact, at responsibletechnology.org, we have a list of the high contamination foods from glyphosate residues. Now, glyphosate, we can spend hours on that. It's been linked to more than 30 diseases, and it's absolutely devastating for health. Most people know about cancer because of those lawsuits, but it's linked to autism and to digestive disorders and fatigue and overweight and hypertension and Parkinson's and infertility, et cetera. And so we want to avoid both the GMOs and the Roundup, and the organic standard does not allow for use of either. Sometimes there's contamination. It's not going to be perfect, but that's the way to go.
Okay, Joe in Arkansas, you're on the phone with Jeffrey Smith. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, I understand that Vivek Ramaswamy, that's running for the Republican nomination for president, is involved in bioengineering. Mr. Smith, what do you know about that?
I don't. There is a spiritual leader who's got this Save the Soil program that a lot of luminaries are on, and he's got a lot of people involved. What's interesting is if someone's involved with genetic engineering, I want to say I don't dismiss them. I certainly don't cast them as evil. I'm not against all uses of genetic engineering, and I'll explain. If you can fix a person's defective gene and they understand the risks and it's not inheritable to the next generation, so it doesn't change humans, and it goes in there, and if they could do this and they could fix a gene that might kill them otherwise, that's what we call a contained use with consent.
Well, if you want to use wouldn't this be like stem cell research, the same kind of process, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm not an expert at stem cell research.
But, I mean, everything you're describing is like you inject stem cells into to regenerate growth to stop something bad from happening.
Right. You can put a stem cell in.
Go ahead.
You can put a stem cell in and it'll do its thing. With genetic engineering, you're doing something a little different. You're actually going into the genome. And you're making a change in the genome. So it doesn't have to be one of those like everything cells. It'll just figure out what it needs to do and become this or that. It's actually forcing a change in the genome.
Okay, we're at the break right now, 28 minutes after the hour. We'll be back at 32 minutes after with more of your conversation here with Jeffrey Smith and your phone calls about genetic engineering, good or bad. Stay with us.
And heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
It's Joyce Reilly with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
We are back at 32 minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. Dave Krieger with you, and Jeffrey Smith is also on the line for those of you watching us in video. This, by the way, will go to Brighteon and Rumble, and you can access this broadcast from there. This is pretty important stuff we're talking about this morning. I'm looking at the non-GMOshoppingguide.com website here, and I mean, this is the thing. I'm looking down. There's a thing about what not to order when you're going out to dinner, but what really bothers me is, you know how much Cheerios we ate as kids? Now, Cheerios, was genetic modification going on that long ago?
No, it wasn't. No, this is good, Dave. So it's like, people our age don't have to think about the junk food we ate when we were kids in terms of GMOs. There's other things that we're eating that were nasty, but not the GMOs. The first foods came into the production around 1996, 90, and that's when I got involved, and with soy and corn. Now, unfortunately, soy and corn, as well as the canola oil and cottonseed oil, they're genetically engineered, and their derivatives are in most processed foods. So if you're eating something in a can or a box and you see a lot of ingredients in there, it's likely that some of that comes from a GMO soy, corn, cotton, or canola, or animal products from animals that are fed soy, corn, cotton, canola, sugar beets, or alfalfa, all genetically engineered. Now, the animals are different if they're eating the GMOs. And for most of all those GMOs, they're sprayed with Roundup because it's engineered not to die. It's sprayed with Roundup. Roundup blocks the absorption of minerals, so you have Roundup-ready crops that are mineral-deficient. You have animals eating those crops that are mineral-deficient. You're eating mineral-deficient foods, and you're eating Roundup, which then chelates or grabs on the minerals, making them unavailable. So you're having a mineral disaster. It's an antibiotic, so it can damage the gut bacteria. It creates leaky gut. It can damage the hormonal balance, the neurotransmitters like serotonin, melatonin, and dopamine. It can kill off mitochondria, which is related to aging and energy and cancer. It can block the digestive enzymes, damage the microvilli along the walls. And I'm just getting started. And we're not even talking about multi-generational impacts, not only direct birth defects for the next generation, but epigenetic effects that go on to the great-grandchildren, according to some intergenerational studies. So it turns out that Cheerios, funny you should mention that, was getting a lot of pressure on social media to be non-GMO, and they had very little GMO in it, some corn starch or something. And so it was easy for them to go non-GMO. In 2013, they said, okay, our main Cheerios is non-GMO. And I called them up and said, what do you mean by non-GMO? Because I'm an expert at this. I used to work at a GMO detection lab. We certified products as non-GMO. We had standards. Are you testing? Do you have thresholds? Or are you just asking for affidavits? Or are you just, you know, creating something? And they said, well, that's proprietary. I said, well, thank you very much. But they did go to the effort of saying non-GMO. So they did something. But not in their honey nut, just in their regular. But the thing is, that was for GMOs. Then we all learned that oats, which is their main category, oats are drenched in Roundup, in glyphosate, the chief poison. So then when you measure now oats and you measure now Cheerios, it's floating in glyphosate. So, okay, let's say they have non-GMO for their original Cheerios. I still wouldn't eat it. You know, I still suggest to people to run the other way because it has that glyphosate poison, which is very dangerous.
There's a lot of people out there that like to eat cereal, Jeffrey, and I'm just wondering, is there any cereal out there that we can actually trust to eat for breakfast that is non-GMO?
Well, yes, and I would like to go a little further. You see, you can get Cheerios that are non-GMO, but they still have Roundup, so I'm not going to say non-GMO alone. I'm saying organic. Now, sometimes you'll see organic on the same package as non-GMO Project Verified. That's even better, and I'll tell you why. Organic is not allowed to use GMOs, but they don't require tests. So if there's some contamination, it may be there. The non-GMO project, however, if there are things that may be genetically engineered, they do require testing. So the two together is like the gold standard. But if you had to choose between one or the other, go for organic, because that doesn't allow either the GMOs or the Roundup. So what about what to eat for breakfast? I would say look for things that are organic. Now, some people are going to avoid gluten. Some people are going to avoid this. I'm not an expert at that. Everyone, no matter what their diet is, all these experts agree with me, avoid the GMOs and Roundup. And I don't have to agree with them in terms of whether it's raw or paleo or whatnot. I just focus on what to avoid here. And it turns out when people switch to organic, they get better from a variety of things. I did this film with Amy Hart called Secret Ingredients. We had kids who were on the spectrum who are no longer on the spectrum, infertile couples having kids, people with cancer and skin problems and brain fog and overweight. They changed when they switched to organic. Now, we knew this was going to happen because I had asked people at 150 lectures and had by show of hands what people got better from. I asked at a 24 medical conferences about their patients. We surveyed 3,256 people who got better from 28 different conditions when they switched to non-GMO and largely organic food. And we understand these are very specific changes that are predictable for a large number of people. We can't say for one person that their particular skin condition or fatigue or overweight or irritable bowel or inflammatory bowel disease. We can't say that person is definitely because of eating GMOs and Roundup. But I recommend to people in the audience, starting as soon as possible, today, create a spreadsheet and write down percentage of organic. If it's zero, great. Now you have a baseline. And then write down all of your symptoms, 1 to 10 on the left side, all of your symptoms. Add to that your energy level. Add to that your mood. Because the most people in my 3,256 survey sample said that they had improvements in mood, including anxiety and depression. Most people had digestive problems that were fixed. Most people had weight problems and fatigue better improved and brain fog improved and allergies improved, all above 50%. So write down all of your symptoms, your energy and your mood, and then every day your percentage of organic and check it out. And then switch to organic as much as you can for as long as you can and watch what changes. That may be the convincer for life.
Wow, it's amazing. Brady in Las Vegas, you're on the phone with Jeffrey Smith. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I'm absolutely scared to death that I learned CRISPR technology in high school. I didn't like the death stabs that I got, and now the food supply is tainted.
Yeah, Brady, you're probably going to want to have to call back in. We're getting a bad connection here. Anyway, the USDA GMO labeling policy, from what is stated here, I mean, we're talking about you trust your government for things jab. I mean, anybody that is smart says, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this thing. The government's mandating it. I don't trust it. I'm not taking it. It's like we were lied to in so many different ways. And here's just another classic example of the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their GMO labeling policy. We can't trust it, can we?
Oh, no, absolutely not. It's basically a Monsanto policy. I can give the backstory. I'm going to give the backstory here.
Wow.
I mean, it's amazing. I think you're going to enjoy this little description of how Monsanto has corrupted the government. And I do want to emphasize, we've created this. We have a comment period to the USDA at responsibletechnology.org/takeaction, where you can sign your name, and we are telling them, not on our watch, you can't let genetically engineered microbes out like we've been talking about. Okay, let's get to the labeling. So the White House in the early 90s wanted to promote GMOs because they thought it was going to improve U.S. exports and U.S. control of world food trade. So they told the FDA, EPA, and USDA, promote GMOs. Get it on there. Don't tell Congress. We don't want any new laws. Just use old regulations and then throw GMOs at them. So in order to promote it, the FDA created a new position for Monsanto's former attorney, outside attorney, Michael Taylor, and said, okay, you're in charge of policy. So Michael Taylor was in charge of the GMO policy. His policy said, we don't see any difference, no labeling, no testing. Just put it on the market if you think it's safe. You don't even have to tell the FDA if you're putting a GMO in the food supply. And it turns out, because of a lawsuit years later, we looked at the actual secret FDA memos. It was all a lie. It was fraud. The majority, the consensus of the scientists working on the problem at the FDA were appalled. They said, no, GMOs are different and dangerous and need to be tested. And they were overruled by the political appointee, Michael Taylor, who then became Monsanto's vice president, who later became the U.S. food czar back at the FDA. So that revolving door. We have the EPA, which approved Roundup. And from the Monsanto Roundup trials, we now know that they had their own lapdogs in the EPA. We have the emails of the person who was working on behalf of Monsanto trying to get other testing in the government of glyphosate and cancer canceled. We had all sorts of information showing that they were working, not necessarily being paid, but just they had their handlers, and the handlers were reporting to each other about what they said. Now we have the USDA. The USDA is run by Vilsack now, Secretary of USDA. It was Sunny before. And those both were governors of states and were given the Biotech Governor of the Year awards by the Biotech Industry Organization in the past. And the USDA has been very much in the pocket of Big Ag. Now, originally, the FDA was in charge of labeling, but they said they actually did their own studies and found out if it was labeling, people wouldn't want it. And they were supposed to promote GMOs. That is their official mandate. So they said no labeling was required. Now, a bunch of us said, okay, we can't do it at the federal level. They're in the pocket of Monsanto. Let's go for different states and try and get labeling in states. And they poured, Monsanto and food companies poured $110 million in to win those ballot initiative votes. It was thin, but they still won. Vermont, the legislature, passes a labeling law. Biotech industry freaks out. They get their friends in Congress to say, okay, this cannot happen. And they pass what we call the DARK Act, denying Americans the right to know. disallowing states to create labeling schemes and said, okay, we're going to give it to the USDA to create a labeling program because we have them in our pockets. So the biotech industry caused Congress to give a labeling program to the USDA. And what did they come up with? Something that has so many loopholes, 95% of all the GMO products out there do not have to be labeled. Nothing that's genetically engineered with gene editing has to be labeled. Nothing where it's an ingredient that you can't find the DNA in it, like high fructose corn syrup and the oils, none of that have to be labeled. It is a sham. And they also took out the word GMO because it was a negative and turned it to bioengineered, which hardly anyone knows what it means. So if you see maybe made with bioengineered ingredients, run away. They even tried to have QR codes, so you had to actually get your phone out to figure out what it was trying to say, and that was ruled by courts as to be unfair.
Thank you for that explanation, because a lot of us went out and spent money buying these 25-year shelf-life products that say bioengineered on them.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And me included. We've got a bunch of it in there. And if it says bioengineered on it, it means that whatever it is that you bought for your food supply, boy, this really sucks, Jeff. Those of you who have not bought, I mean, that's why we've got Heaven's Harvest out there, folks. Those of you who made the mistake of buying this stuff, you may want to save it for barter and not eat this. You may have to reevaluate your entire storage supply, because if you're eating bioengineered food, that means that your body is going to be slowly ingesting all of these things and everything that we've been talking about as far as your mood, your health, your overall well-being is going to be compromised. Brady in Vegas, you're back on. You got a better line now?
Yeah, I'm better now. I'm kind of just really scared because you talked about the CRISPR technology being used in high schools. I mean, who in their right mind would ever thought you'd be doing gene editing research in a high school? And it's legal. And again, just like with Bill Gates and Monsanto, who gave them the right to genetically modify our food, gene edit a human? That's not implied consent. There was no implied consent ever given to anybody modifying our food without our knowledge.
Well, so, informed consent,
again, with the FDA sounds like the main culprit again, because they were involved with the death jabs that everybody got with the mRNA injections for COVID. And Carrie Madej, I just saw an article from Carrie Madej about a week ago. She says the Hydra vulgaris is inside the mRNA technology and inside the jab that everybody got. And I'm wondering, could you share some insight in the use of Hydras, which are immortal, and injecting everybody in the world with the death jabs with Hydras in them, mRNA included?
Brady, I'll see what Jeff knows. Thanks for your call, Brady. Go ahead.
Thank you, Brady. I am not an expert at vaccines. The only thing that I speak on vaccines is that when they took off the vaccines and tested the vials for all the whole vaccine schedule, the MMR and all that stuff that kids were taking before COVID, it had glyphosate in them. And it's like, you don't want to inject glyphosate. I can speak to that because I spent 27 years looking at GMOs and glyphosate. And so I'm very narrow in my focus. I make sure if I'm talking about something, it's an area that I've not only studied, and I'm not a scientist, but I interview scientists, verify that my description of what they've just told me works. So I send back my analogies and my metaphors and my descriptions and my statistics, and I gather that from lots and lots of different scientists. So I have a big, big view of a very narrow field. So I can't speak, Brady, to that. But I do agree, no one gave permission to Bill Gates and Monsanto to meddle with our food supply. And there is now a sense, because of the massive disinformation campaign, Brady, that people think, oh, CRISPR's great. CRISPR's fine. CRISPR's natural. It's just what happens naturally, and we're doing it more with more precision. That's false. That's disinformation. But that's why they can get high schools to do it, because they don't know better. It's not like they realize they're putting the microbiome at risk. They don't.
Wow. Tim in Michigan, you're on the phone with Jeffrey Smith. Go ahead.
Hey, the question I have, I watched on that crazy net, whatever, on the microbiome underneath the ground. And this guy claims that every old growth forest in the world should be protected to the fullest extent because the microbiome has all the original DNA since this planet has been existed. Do you agree with that?
You know, I know that soil has a very complex microbiome. And it's more complex than inside the human body. I don't know if the old growth forest contains all of it because they're finding inside volcanoes in the bottom of the ocean things called extremophiles, these microbes that have superpowers that they can survive in absolutely incredible conditions. And they're learning about DNA and they're learning about new ways that, nature has figured things out. So I've never heard that all the microbes are found in the old growth forest. I do think they should be protected for lots of reasons. And but I do what I do want to point out is that the microbes in the soil, if they are balanced, they can create nutrient-rich, high-yielding food that resists disease, insects, and has its own fertilizer because it's produced by the microbes. The big ag has created weak monocultures where they wipe out the microbials in the soil with glyphosate and others, and then they put in a little bit of nutrients and they end up with weak, nutrient-poor plants. If we could have the masters of soil microbiome in charge of educating farmers, we could eliminate most or all of the toxic chemicals. We'd have healthier food. We would eliminate that soil runoff, et cetera, et cetera. So big ag would not make any money from this. So they don't really love these biological solutions unless they can patent some and sell it. And then they're in charge again and they have their own model. And that's what they're doing is like Bayer Monsanto with is in Join Bio, and there's a Pivot Bio. They're creating these genetically engineered microbes and patenting them and selling them. And they're not needed and they're dangerous. So the soil, you bring out a good point, Tim. The soil is an important reservoir, and we need to protect it. And it draws down the carbon. It creates the carbon cycle. It supports plants, et cetera.
Wow. And see, so far, since we've been having this conversation, I've been looking down this list. This is amazing. You have a huge list of what is basically non-GMO project verified products on here, many of which I'm eating. So this is a good thing. It's probably one of the reasons. Man, oh, man, oh, man. If you go to non-GMOproject.org, it's on there too. But the thing is that the shopping guide that we're going to be sending all of you, I wish you all would get the internet email blast that we have on the Power Hour, because then you could access all of this. If you can go to the library, even to do that and just spend some time on the non-GMOshoppingguide.com website, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of products on this website that have been tested and certified as non-GMO that are legitimate, that are not bioengineered, that you should be eating. And so, you know, this is one of the things that, and I'm glad that we got this because I've been asking people forever and a day since I joined this show what bioengineered actually means, and I couldn't get a straight answer. I got beat around the bush kind of thing. I'm like, well, how do I know that I'm not, if it says bioengineered, how do I know I'm not eating genetically modified garbage?
Yeah, and you are.
And the thing is, Dr. Karen Becker, who's a veterinarian, brought up, and she's like the go-to lady on veterinary medicine, brought up this whole thing about the same kind of stuff that they're doing to animals and the same kind of degenerative products, I'm calling them here, because they're basically not good for your animals. And they're basically because they're being brought in the production cycle pre-manufacturing, like what you're talking about. You spray the soil, the cows eat it, the cows have it in their system, and then it goes to market. And when it gets to the plant, they don't have to tell you what was in the grass the cows ate. That's pretty much what you're saying. It's the same kind of scheme that's going on here, right?
It's actually worse with the animals. I've interviewed Dr. Becker and others, and we have petsandgmos.com. We don't normally bring that up, but now that you brought it up, we have a little video of different veterinarians who discovered on their own that, oh, my God, it's the GMOs in the pet food and the Roundup in the pet food. I remember Dr. Michael Fox, who wrote the the syndicated column Animal Doctor with 25 to 30 million readers, around the time that GMOs were created, he got all these letters from people all over the country saying, my dog and cat now have intractable diarrhea and itching and whatnot. He said, get them off of the GMOs. And he has a file drawer full of letters saying it worked. And the wow. amount of cancer for the dogs, it used to not even be taught in veterinary school, according to Dr. Barbara Royal. And now it's one out of every 1.6 dogs get cancer. We think it's the Roundup.
Oh,
and the thing is, for pet owners, put them on the organic, non-GMO, the non-glyphosate. And do it yourself, too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we appreciate you, Jeffrey Smith. We are out of time for today's show, but boy, has it been an interesting, eye-opening hour. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you got a lot of that. There's a lot. You can take action. We're going to send you the email blast. In the meantime, you can go to the non-GMOshoppingguide.com and start eating healthier than you have been. We appreciate it. It's the only way we're going to keep you alive so you can keep listening to the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. We got to do what we can to save it, folks. Be back tomorrow. See you then.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.